I'd like the reading you're hearing from the message, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, probably verses 1 through 10. If I speak with human eloquence, an angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything as plain as day. And if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for the other than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, does not have a swell head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first. Love doesn't fly off at the handle, doesn't keep the score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. It puts up with anything. Trusts God always. Always looks for the best. It never looks back, but it keeps going to the end. Love never dies. May the Lord add a rich blessing to the reading, the hearing of God's holy word. May it sink deep down and bring forth much fruit. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Most gracious God, I'm a sinner saved by your grace, but I know all you have to do is say the word, and I shall be healed long enough to do your work and to do your will. Lord, hide this preacher behind the cross, that your people might see you and not me, that they might hear you and not me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. There was an actor who was playing the role of Jesus in the Passion play. You know, when they walked through the streets and he had to carry the cross. And there was a heckler taunting him, saying insults. And the man took it as long as he can take it. And at one point, he put the cross down and he walked over to the guy and he socked him good. He went back and he picked up the cross and he finished the Passion. At the end of the play, the director said, look, we got to fire you. We can't have you playing the role of Jesus and punching people. And he says, I know, but I need this job. I really, really need this job. He said, well, you just can't go out there doing it. He said, I promise I won't do it. I'll take it. He says, all right. So the next day, he's out there. He's carrying the cross. And sure enough, that heckler showed back up. He's walking alongside of him, taunting him. And at one point, the man clenched his fist, and he says, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. And he kept walking, and the guy just kept taunting him, yelling insults at him. He grit his teeth. He says, nope, I just can't do it. And at one point, he looked over at the heckler, and he says, right now, I've got to go to the cross, but I'll meet you after the resurrection. I just want to put it out there that being a Christian is not easy, because we can't just behave however we want to behave. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And God wants the best of us, the best from us. And being a Christian, sometimes we have to die to self. We can't behave like we want to. And what I really love about this text that was read in your hearing, Paul is trying to describe what Christian love really is. Christian love is not a feeling. It's a way of life. Amen? So I want to challenge your thinking with this thought: receive love, give love, and repeat love. And I'm going to share three stories with you that I hope that you get to see what Paul is talking about. You see, this particular passage is read, and we hear it at weddings, and oh, it's so beautiful. We use it in counseling. People talk about it in friendships. And we tend to romanticize this text. But what Paul was really dealing with in this text was, folks was talking about spiritual gifts and who had the best gifts and all of that. And Paul basically says, listen, it doesn't matter what gifts you have. If they're not operating without the love of Christ in your heart, then they're useless gifts. They're empty gifts. How many of you know what Paul is talking about? You see, this love that Paul is talking about is very different than I think the love that we tend to talk about. When I met my wife, I could remember just kind of looking across the room and going, man, this girl is gorgeous. What in the world am I going to do? Got to put me a plan together here. I want this woman. And I rubbed my hands together. Some of you guys are looking at me because you did the same thing. And I can remember when she finally said yes to us being a couple. And I was so proud. I could remember her being across the room, and I could look across the room and actually feel something. But I want to tell you today that my love has graduated. Now, she's still a beautiful woman, hasn't changed much at all. And my commitment is there. But that's just it. It's not about a feeling. My love is about a decision and a commitment to her and to my family. Love is not just a feeling. It's a way of life. And I think what the Apostle Paul is talking about is saying, don't romanticize this love that I'm talking about. Because what I'm going to ask you to do is very difficult. It's going to stretch you. It's going to shape you. But in the end, it'll build some character. In the hills of Pennsylvania, a devout group of Christian people, they live simple lives without automobiles, modern machinery. They work hard. They live quiet, peaceful lives from the world. Most of their food come from their own gardens. The women sew and they knit and they weave their clothing, all modest and plain. They're known as the Amish people. A 32-year-old milk driver, he lived with his family in their nickel mines community. He was not Amish, but his pickup route took him to many dairies, and that's how he got to know some of the Amish people. And last October, he suddenly lost all reason and control, and in his tormented mind, he blamed God for the loss of his child. And he stormed into the Amish school without any provocation. He released the boys and the adults, and he tied up 10 girls. He shot the girls, killing 5, and he wounded 5. And then he took his own life. That's not really the part that's so shocking. You see, the shocking violence caused great anguish amongst the Amish, but no anger. There was extraordinary hurt, but no hate. Their forgiveness was immediate. Collectively, they went to the man who had murdered these children, and they told his mother and father that they forgive his son. They went to that man's funeral. There was more Amish at the funeral than was of his own family and friends. And they invited that mother and father to the funerals of those little girls. How in the world were they able to do this? They received love. They gave love. And they repeated love. Let's go back to the text for a minute. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but I don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. And if I speak God's word with power, revealing all of his mysteries and make everything as plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I am bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for the other than for self. Sometimes love is going to ask us to do something hard. Amen? Sometimes love might ask us to forgive folks when we're not ready to forgive them. Hello? You know, even in our own lives, there might be some family members who have hurt us or have hurt family members. And you know what we say? I'll just let it go. Where does it go when you let it go? It's right there, isn't it? And what happens is we have this offense, and if we don't deal with it, that offense turns into bitterness. And bitterness turns into other things. Amen? How many of you know what I'm talking about? And maybe we're not ready to forgive some folks for what they've done. But maybe our first step today is an acknowledgement that we need to forgive. And maybe we can ask God to help us in the next steps to forgive. There was a young girl, her name was Sheila, and her father was dropping her off to sing in the church choir. In a car in front of him, there was a bumper sticker that said, "Have you hugged your child today?" And the father said, "Man, I don't like that bumper sticker. Why would they put that there?" And as Sheila got out of the car, she thought about her dad. And she said, "Lord, I pray for my father. He needs some help." But as she continued to pray, she said, "You know what? I need to change my own attitude." You know, that's a good thing sometimes, that change begins with us, doesn't it? So that afternoon, she cleaned her room and she straightened up a closet. And her father came upstairs and he looked at her room and he said, "Wow, your mother told you to do this?" She said, "No." "You did this on your own?" She said, "Yes." And he said, "Why?" She said, "Because I wanted to thank you for being good parents." "Really?" So they go downstairs and they have dinner. And after dinner was over, Sheila said, "Mom and Dad, don't worry about the kitchen. I'm going to clean it up. I'll take care of everything. Why don't y'all go for a walk and relax?" The father's looking over. "Who is that?" So they went for a walk and he says to his wife, he says, "What's gotten into Sheila?" And the mother says, "I don't know, but I like it." And just before bed, she said, "Dad, remember that bumper sticker that you read?" He said, "Yeah." And she reached up and she kissed him. And she says, "Now a daughter has hugged her parent for the day." And she went over and she hugged her mom and kissed her. And she ran upstairs. But before she got to the top step, she heard her father say to the mother, "I need to support her more. I'm going to go to church and hear her sing in the choir. From this day, I'm going to start going to church." Sheila was at the top step and she said, "Yes." We've got to put our love into action, amen? We've got to put our love into action. Some of you young people come to church and your parents are not with you. Put your love into action. Don't stop asking them to come. Keep on asking. Some of your parents, some of you parents, your children are of age and they're choosing not to come to church. Don't give up on them. Put your love into action. Keep on praying. Keep on inviting them. Amen? Some of you come and your spouses are not here and it's a burden to you. You come to church alone. Put your love into action. Don't stop praying for them. Don't stop asking. Because it might be one day that they will come and hear the message that will change their life forever. You want that for them, don't you? So don't stop praying. Don't stop asking. This love that Paul is talking about, it's a powerful love. It's a love that will challenge us. It will shape us. It will change us. It will ask us to do some hard things. J. Vernon McGee, he says, when you think of what the scripture is asking us, he talks about love without knowledge, or knowledge without love, faith without love, prophecy without love. All of these things won't amount to anything. But if you put love next to it, they become powerful in itself, doesn't it? Last story that I want to share with you. USA Today said that whenever we talk about the church, we always think of there's something in the news that's counterculture, or there's some pastor that's gotten him or herself in trouble with some affair. He said, but in this particular case, it's rare that this young man in South Carolina who wanted to start a race war went into a church and murdered those folks. And yet the forgiveness from those families and members of the congregation was immediate. How were they able to do that? To forgive. They gave love. The same love that they received from God, they was able to give it over and over and over again. They'll know that you're my disciples if you love one another. I can't tell you that that was an easy thing to do. It was a hard thing to do. But because they're believers in Christ, it was the right thing to do. Amen? They received love, the same love that you and I receive from God. And they gave love, and they repeated it over and over and over. Love is not a feeling. It's a way of life, isn't it? It's a decision and a commitment to do the right thing. Would you join hands with the person next to you? And we do this because we never know what the person next to us is going through. You all look so great. You're dressed up. You look wonderful. But I have no idea of what's going on the inside. I have no idea whether you've had a good week, a crazy week, a difficult week. I have no idea of what's going on in your life and in the life of your family. So, let us pray. Margaret, can I take your hand? Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you for this day. We thank you for the love that you have shared with us, a love that will change us, shape us, challenge us, build character. And Lord, we thank you for loving us the way that you do, that while we were yet sinners, you died for us, that you sent your Son, your only begotten, to die for us so that we can be in relationship with you. Lord, we love you for it. Father, we pray for our sick and our shut-in and ask that you might bless them right where they are. Let them know that you are here. Let them know that you promise to be with them always, even unto the ends. We thank you for every visitor that has visited us today. Pray that your word has fed them. Pray that the fellowship was good for them. We pray that you would press it upon them to come back, that you've got even more for them. We thank you for the leadership in this church. We thank you for the music for our youth and for the young adult ministry that's coming. Father, continue to bless and heal. We pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen.